KJOY and KJAX in Stockton. I am Bill Bischofberger, and welcome to our second hour. I want to remind you, tonight at 11 o'clock, People USA will be talking to Roy Clark, who is the stuntman for the Rockford Files. He is also the double for James Garner on that show, and if they stand side by side, you can barely tell who is who. And we'll also be talking with the owner of the Magic Castle, Milt Larson, and some of the activities he's up to other than the Magic Castle, and he'll be talking about a person, and in fact we'll be interviewing that special surprise person during the show. It's kind of complicated, but you'll find out about that between 11 and 11:30 this evening. In this hour, I am joined by Catherine Hannaford, and she is the author of the book Cosmic Cookery, and she is with One World Family, and it's a cookbook that includes 190 out-of-this-world vegetarian recipes developed and tested in the communal One World Family Natural Foods restaurant. Catherine, welcome to the program. You're into natural cooking, right, as it were. Have you always been?
No, I've only been into it for about 13 years. And before that, I was just eating, you know, pretty much what everyone else was eating and whatever was served to me, basically. As I grew up, I subsisted, I think you could say. That's how I feel about it now. At the time, I didn't know any difference, but I was just a meat and potatoes person, you know, canned vegetable type of person, and really didn't get into it until actually I got out on my own and started experimenting with foods and chanced upon a vegetarian diet and decided to try it. And ever since then, I've been just doing all kinds of research, and it really opened up a career for me. And I got real excited about working with natural foods and seeing the results that kind of foods can have on your metabolism, your body, your health, you know, vitality, beauty, et cetera, because I noticed that the natural foods really affect a large scope of different aspects of your life rather than just, here's something, eat this, mm-hmm. you know. And so that really intrigues me.
As I was reading the book, I was thinking, are you trying to put cattlemen out of business?
Yes.
Yes?
No, I'm not trying to, but that's an interesting concept because it the cattle business is, in a sense, devoting a tremendous amount of acreage in raising a secondary food source, whereas the vegetarian types of foods are what I would call natural foods, not so much. The vegetarian concept to me is a little bit more limited than the natural foods concept, because with natural foods there's a lot more of a variety, I think, mentally than you get with just vegetarian, you know, oh, vegetables, awful. Right. Mm-hmm. But with natural foods, you cover the whole range of nuts, seeds, beans, fruits, vegetables, and grains. And so you can raise a lot more of the primary food sources that I just mentioned on a lot less land than it does to raise cattle that are fed all the grains that you could be feeding to people. So that is interesting. In a way, a vegetarian regime does eliminate a wasteful source of protein, the animal source.
One of the things you mentioned in the book is, and I mentioned on the air a little while ago, is you don't jump into, is the coffee all right? we'll fix it. Coffee around the station is just done. You don't jump into a vegetarian way of life right away. You're just not saying, off the meat.
I wouldn't recommend it, because for one thing, our bodies have been not only in this body strain now that we're experiencing, but in the past body strains and generations before us have been programmed in certain types of eating. And although I don't believe they're the best eating habits, still they are sort of acclimated to certain types of foods. And if you've been raised, say, for 20 years, like I was, on a diet of devitalized foods, then if you go into a diet of pure foods, fresh fruits and vegetables and those kinds of things, your body will go through a period of transition, maybe perhaps too rapidly, and you can't really make an adjustment, and you might start cleansing or eliminating a lot of poisons that had been stored in your body, which is the poisons are what shows up as obesity in people and skin problems and different other types of diseases. And that's related all to the food you eat, as well as your mental outlook and the kinds of activities you're engaged in. But to a large degree, your diet controls your health. And so if you've been eating a diet of refined and processed foods, and you all of a sudden jump into a diet of pure foods, or any other kind of diet for that matter, your body's going to go through a shock, a period of shock. And so in the book, I recommend that you do what is called a gradual transition. And I've devoted a lot of pages, many pages to that subject, how to make a gradual transition. If you're really seriously interested in eating natural foods, then you should really take the time to educate yourself, research it carefully, and talk to people that know about it, read books and so forth, and find out how to make a gradual transition. The kind of thing I recommend is a sort of a process of elimination and substitution.
Right, where, so the first thing, get off of red meat.
Yeah, right. The first thing would just to not just drop meat from your diet totally, especially someone, say, who is really depending on meat, eats three meals of meat a day. Mm-hmm. That would be probably too much of a drastic change for your body's system to handle. And I would recommend just eliminating red meat maybe from one meal a day first, and then substituting fish, or just eliminating meat from one of your meals. There's so many different ways to do it, but the whole point is do it slowly and a little bit at a time, and then start introducing other foods in place of those foods. Like, for instance, serve rice instead of meat some night.
But aren't you eliminating one of the four basic food groups that we hear about, meat and fish?
Yeah, meat and fish are the one of the basic food groups because they're protein sources. Now, you have your proteins, your starches, carbohydrates and sugars and fats, and those are the basic things that you need for your body to really function in a way. But you don't need to get protein from meat. Meat is a secondary source of protein. I mean, you could say, here's my arm, have a piece of fresh meat. Are you hungry? Here's some protein. It's the best kind of protein you can get. It's the same as your protein. Now, eat this. And in a way, you can see that there are certain that sounds sort of strange. But to me now, you see, I've eaten meat for 20 years. To me, that sounds strange now to say, here's this animal, I killed it, I cut it up, I put it in a butcher's store, and you are buying it and eating it. Now that, to me, is decomposed flesh, and I don't, that's, the philosophical approach.
Yeah, but hasn't it been going on since, caveman went out and, dinosaurs, and you had dinner?
Well, yes, you could say the prey and predator relationship, if you follow me.
They were eating meat there.
Pardon?
They were eating meat then.
Yes, too. They were eating meat then, but there were also vegetarian tribes and so forth. There were many, many vegetarian tribes. I think the type of concept I'm talking about is where you get into the prey and predator consciousness, where people are hunting for their food and tracking it down and killing it and so forth, where you have other kinds of tribes that were the foraging type. And before the grain, the advent of the seeds, planting seeds and agriculture.
More like what I would think of Indians and growing the
right.
corn.
And still today, you see, in most parts of the world, people don't hunt for meat and kill it and eat it. Most of the world is vegetarian, over half of the world. And the Asians and the Indians and the Chinese, which comprise, more than half of the world's population, are not meat eaters primarily. They do eat some meat, but they don't really have it, and it's not really accessible. And they have a population thing where they can't really afford to raise cattle to feed mm-hmm. themselves. And so you see the question is, what are the four basic food groups? Now, who's promoting this idea?
Now, wait a minute. Now, I just had, as a guest that will be on our program next week, she's called the Egg Lady. Eggs were one of the sources of proteins, yet you don't use them.
We forego eggs, yes. The Egg Lady.
Poor thing.
Brings to mind
a
story. No, that does sound romantic. And also, even to some people, hunting is romantic. And it's a certain kind of survivalist instinct that people have. They feel like, I did it myself. I went out and I shot that deer, and now I'm going to, I have...
Bambi?
Yeah, Bambi. but the fact is that if you go to what they, if you have a hen and she lays what is called a clutch of eggs, now normally this would be about 30 eggs. Now, then that would be under different circumstances. And there would never be enough eggs under that, what you would call in the wild, for people to have eat eggs. Mm-hmm. And they weren't, so you can see under those circumstances that eggs, you could say, well, maybe they weren't meant to be as food for human beings, because they may be good, a good protein source, but heck, so is spinach. believe it or not. I mean, vegetables are great protein sources. You have to combine them to get all of the 22 amino acids. But that's the way food is.
What's the little white square thing that we got in Japan? And
tofu?
Tofu.
Okay, I just did some great demonstrations.
Protein, isn't it?
Though that's all protein. That's a high protein, over 50% protein, absolutely no fat in it, which eggs, you know, are high in cholesterol. And also they're very low in calories, if you're interested in calories, and I think a lot of people are. Tofu is a wonder food. It's made from soybeans. And I just did some great demonstrations at Cal Expo at the home demonstration kitchen there at the State Fair, where I demonstrated all the uses of tofu and other soybean products that are used in the Orient and are now being more widely used in the United States. But the thing I wanted to get back to, Bill, about eggs, and I hate to cast, you know, aspersions on this kind of thing, but now they have what is called factory-produced eggs. And I've read a lot about this, and I've seen different documentaries, not films, but documented in books with pictures of what they really do now. It's like egg farming, and they have all like up to 20,000 hens that...
I thought you were going to say they were going to grow eggs, and I was just...
cloned eggs, right?
They have,
So they have about up to 20,000 hens, and they put them in these very, very small cubicles, about 4 feet by 5 feet, and they put up as many as, say, 12 hens in one of these cubicles, and they're made out of wire. And, I mean, it's the most unnatural. If you were a hen lover, an animal lover, I mean, you don't have to love animals to think this is awful in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to promote, you know, I'm not on a bandstand about, you know, how horrible this industry is or that, but I just was struck by how commercialized the egg producing and the meat producing industry and the dairy industry and all those industries are to produce these foods for people that just aren't really efficient or say, let's say, ecological and not in line with the way it would really be under nature, say, in the wild, and if things were really under that kind of a system. Now, they have all these hens in these little tiny cubicles made of wire, and they have the floors of these cubicles slanted so that the eggs roll down.
A conveyor belt, yeah.
Right, onto a conveyor belt. And they have a real problem with this high mortality rate of these hens, like they have these nervous breakdowns. I can hear all these people laughing at this. Now, this may not seem funny, but... But anyway, the conditions under which they're producing eggs for people to eat, now that to me is not what I would call a natural food. You know, it's a processed, produced food, and under natural conditions you wouldn't have that kind of, supply at all, and I don't feel that kind of supply and demand is really nature's way.
Okay, Catherine, I have to take a break, and when we return, let us help the person to start becoming a vegetarian, and we'll go on a shopping spree if we can.
Great.
And we'll return with more of the Hotline in just a moment.